Thank you for downloading this episode of Squabblebox right here on the Trending Topics Network. Squabblebox is a live, interactive entertainment show that airs on Siren 107.3 FM every Monday and Thursday between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Throughout the show, we like to get your views and opinions on many different topics. You can get in touch throughout the week if you're listening to the podcast repeat by going to @Squabblebox on Twitter, squabblebox@sirenonline.co.uk on the email, or our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. The music that you hear on the show has had to be edited for legal reasons on the podcast. Stay tuned, we love hearing from you, and let's get started with the show. You're listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We are Squabblebox, your interactive entertainment show right here on Siren FM. We're going to be with you until about 1 o'clock today. We have a huge show planned for you. Just after 12 o'clock today, we will be joined live in the studio by award-winning comedian, director and actor, and of course, Father Ted star, Mr. Ben Keaton. Will be joining us. But first, my name's Kai Valentine. I'm here, as always, with the wonderful, amazing, trying to think of other descriptions because I'm running out, Miss Maisie Anderson.
Good morning.
How are you doing, Maisie?
I'm doing fine. I'm slightly worried about your Key Stage 3 teacher and their qualifications. Think of three adjectives.
Three adjectives. The rule of three, and I can only get two out, and every week they're exactly the same. Every week I go home and go, you know what, I need to check my thesaurus. Next Thursday, I'm going to bring a thesaurus in with me, and every single little bit, I'm going to have different descriptions for you. All nice, hopefully. All nice, hopefully. So, unless I don't understand what the words mean. So, Maisie, today we've got a huge show planned. We're doing all about sci-fi.
We are, which I'm very excited about.
You're very excited about. I know a little bit here and there. Most of my knowledge about sci-fi sort of comes as passive sci-fi knowledge from watching The Big Bang Theory. But we'll get into that as the show goes on. But first, it's time for our regular segment. It's Can You Believe That? That is the segment that we do every Monday and Thursday where we ask, can you believe that a new story happened this week? And can you believe, Maisie, that the IOC has approved five new sports for the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020?
I can believe that they've added five new sports. I'm still a little bit flabbergasted about the sports they've chosen, some of them.
Yeah, let's read them out now, because according to Olympic.org, the International Olympic Committee, the IOC, yesterday agreed to add baseball/softball, karate, skateboarding, sports climbing and surfing to the sports program for the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020.
See, these are all sports. When I think of most of these sports, the majority of those five, I think of America and American sports.
That's what surprised me, because I was there like, oh, that surprises me for Japan, because I didn't realise that like skateboarding, for example, was a massive part of Japan's culture.
I didn't know that either.
I didn't know either. So I guess we'll see. But the decision by the 129th IOC session in Rio de Janeiro was the most comprehensive evolution of the Olympic program in modern history.
Mm.
Now, that's it's brilliant, because for so many years there have been so many people who say, ah, that's not an Olympic sport and that's an Olympic sport. You know, we need to stick with the traditional Olympic sports. This is something different.
Now, the traditional Olympic sports.
Oh, yeah.
If you think right back to, you know, ancient Greece.
But remember, we don't go back that far.
It was a very different affair.
Yeah. When we look back at it and we go, but are you happy that these sports are being added to the Olympic program?
I'm definitely interested by it.
Yes.
I find it quite interesting. The weird thing is when it comes to the skateboarding one, because the whole point of the Olympics is that you can't be a paid professional, I don't believe. You can't be... There's a different... You can't go into the sport at Olympic level if you're professional for some reason.
You've got to...
It's really weird.
I believe you've got to drop most of your sponsors. Like, there are certain rules of which sponsors you are allowed and which you're not allowed.
Because with the skateboarding one, pretty much any skateboarder who anyone knows would be considered professional because their entire livelihood is based on sponsors.
Yes. Yeah, you've got to... I think the rule is that you've got to drop your sponsor a month before the Olympic Games and then you can pick them up as soon as the Olympic Games finishes again. There is weird and wacky rules going on at the minute and a lot of people have been... It's been in the news, actually, about how it's sort of changed and how people are being affected by the fact that you're not allowed to say certain words and online, on radio, or on Twitter and things like that.
Is that any public space, you have to be very careful about what you say.
Yes, and that's why we're being careful. So the skateboarding one is quite interesting to me, though, because I've seen lots of people online. Some people are really, really happy with this. Yeah. Some people think that this is going to be brilliant and that there'll be added revenue and money put into skate parks around the world and people will be encouraged to go out and play outside and take up something that they might not, you know, because there's a generation of people. Did you ever skateboard when you were a kid?
Yes.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, were you good?
No.
Could you stand up?
Yes.
Oh, right. Well, you beat me because I used to just go down on my belly on my bum.
I didn't go... I didn't do any half pikes or quarter pikes. Pipes, not pikes. That was the thing. As a kid, I always used to say pike.
I'm not going to lie, Maisie. I'm not even sure. What is that, the flippy thing?
No, the quarter pipe. You know... Right. You know in skate parks, they've got the big curvy things.
Oh, yes.
They're
yes.
called pipes.
Right.
I've never been down any pipes properly because I was only about 8.
Yeah.
And I gave it up quite quickly because it's a hard thing to do.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And I just don't have the balance for it, to be honest. But I have friends who are quite good at skating. Most of them, actually. Anybody I know that's quite good at skating that I know personally, nearly all of them are over 40.
Well, you know, it can be any age. That's the brilliant thing. I just hope that these are... It's something a little bit different, but there are some people to combat that side saying that this is a bad thing for skateboarding because it will take it away from the tradition of skateboarding, which has been a bit of an anti-society style. That's what people online have been saying that I've seen.
I feel like the people who say that just... skateboard because it looks cool, not necessarily because they find it fun.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's sort of like the only way that I can describe it is, and people might be upset for me saying this. So Pokemon fans, people who were Pokemon fans last year and still playing Pokemon last year, might be a little bit upset now that it's become mainstream and there are lots of people playing it.
I think you're making a lot of assumptions here, Kai.
I'm just saying that's what I've heard from some people. I'm not saying that's everyone. But let us know what you guys think. Are you happy that these sports have been added to the Olympic Games? Are you excited? Do you play any of these sports? Do you take part in any of these sports? Get in touch. Let us know. You can also let us know all about your favourite sci-fi movies, sci-fi TV shows, anything to do with sci-fi. Yes.
I was just curious, because we spoke majoritively about skateboarding. What were the other four again? Surfing,
karate, and softball, and sports climbing.
Cool.
They're really interesting that these have been picked. But it's one of those things where people go, because people have been saying that darts should be added to the Olympic Games as well, because it's a sport, but it's just one of the traditionalist in you sort of sits there and goes, can you imagine a darts player holding an Olympic gold medal?
If you can get Olympic gold medals for shooting,
yeah,
then why not darts? It's the same idea, it's just different. It's just that you're throwing instead of aiming.
Yes.
Or you're aiming, but with, you know, you're doing the physical movement, not... you don't have an equipment.
Now, this is the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games.
Yes.
However, the Olympic Games that are kicking off in Rio, the opening ceremony, is this weekend. So I'm sure that over the next few weeks, we will talk more about the Olympics as the competition goes on.
Rio has some big shoes to fill. after Beijing and London.
Really, they have.
Yeah, it's going to have to be like a 24-hour event.
So if you want to get in touch, you can do by going to @SirenFM on Twitter, studio@sirenonline.co.uk on the email, the Facebook fan page Squabble Box.
Or you can text in at 077 97 800 716, or send us a message if you're listening via the Radio Player app.
Now I think it's time to go into some more music, so stay tuned to Siren FM. Kylie Minogue, I just can't get you out of my head. You are listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. It's 11:18, just turned 11:19 actually as I said that. You are listening to Squabble Box, your interactive entertainment show right here on Siren FM. And this morning we are talking all about sci-fi. Yes, we are. Maisie's very excited.
Yeah.
Not only because she made an amazing poster this week, which blew mine out of the water for every other week.
Well, this is the interesting thing about the poster, was because I was talking to my mum last night, and I mentioned it to her doing the poster, mainly because I asked you outright, how many of these things on the poster do you recognise?
Yes.
And I was telling her about how ridiculous some of your answers were. She then, being my mother, logged onto Facebook, especially just to go and look at the picture I made and go, that's a very good poster, well done.
I recognise some of them. I do. And, like, of course I recognise, like,
a lot
Star
of them
Wars,
are words.
Star Trek.
They're
of course,
titles.
I recognise the ones that are the titles. But let's start off with the complete basics of sci-fi, Maisie.
Okay.
What makes a sci-fi a sci-fi?
It has to have science within it.
Yes.
And it has to be fiction.
Yes. For people who don't know, sci-fi, because people might not know, sci-fi is short for science fiction.
Yes.
And what, when you think of sci-fi, what is the first science fiction thing that comes to mind? Because it can be television, it can be books, it can be any medium.
Well, the first thing that comes into my mind is Doctor Who.
Yes.
But I know that for my parents, and maybe the rest of the generation who are into sci-fi, it's more the books and the classic sci-fi authors, like Arthur C. Clarke or Philip K. Dick.
So what did they write?
I can't give you all of their titles. They wrote tons.
All right.
A lot of sci-fi writers, especially in the 80s, wrote tons. Whether it was a serial type thing or whether it was just lots of short stories. There's one that my mum always wants me to read, and it's something about an alien pit stop. And I can't remember his name, and I'm sure if she's listening, she will actually email me, because I've got it terribly wrong. Personally for me, sci-fi is more of a TV thing than anything else.
Okay.
I tend to watch sci-fi rather than read it or listen to it, because obviously radio plays and audiobooks exist as well.
Yeah, I can see what you mean. I'm looking now at the Wikipedia page for the history of science fiction, which you should never trust Wikipedia, really.
Well, actually, I should be doing a whole course on sci-fi this year.
Apparently, the roots... How far do you think that the roots of sci-fi go back?
Oh, centuries.
In fact, according to this, it goes back to 2150 to 2000 BC, which is a long, long time ago.
Wait, 2150 BC? Okay.
Yeah.
You didn't establish that.
Oh, no, I said BC.
Yeah. Well, no, you said it afterwards. I got I thought you were talking, like, backwards.
Yeah.
Like, well, it'll stop at 2150 AD, and it goes all the way back.
It started in 2000.
Yeah.
No. Apparently, it goes back that far.
Yeah.
And it's always been a thing, though, where whatever generation you're from, you always have those thoughts of what the future will hold. And I think that's what a lot of science fiction accomplishes. When it comes to things like, say, Back to the Future, which we talked a little bit about on Monday's show, and I think that's sort of why this came about, talking about this, because we played Back to the Future song. But when you look at Back to the Future, and our parents were young when...
Teenagers
when it first came out in... What year did it come out? 1985?
Yeah. All 80s classics came out in 85.
Ah, right.
I don't know why, they just all did.
Well, so then...
It was a great summer for films.
So that was a huge thing for science fiction, because it made people think about what the future was going to be like, and not even
It didn't take Back to the Future to do that. People are always wondering about the unknown. The whole point of science fiction is filling in the gaps of the unknown and theorising about it. And some science writers have such a strong knowledge of the science that, in fact, they actually can predict real events they can see the patterns.
Which is sort of what... I mean, with Back to the Future, say, we'll focus on that first, that predicted a lot of stuff. But when you think about it now and you do look back, some of them were quite... easy predictions if you sort of knew what was being worked on within the sciences. Like, for example, the fact that everyone would apparently be using... things like everyone would be using video calls in the year 2015, which a lot of people are. It's become a huge thing. But there are little things that they got wrong, like they thought that everyone would be doing it on their TVs.
Whereas
now we're doing them on handheld devices for the majority of it.
I mean, one thing I find quite interesting is Futurama.
Yes.
Because Futurama started in the early 2000s, around about the same time that the story starts.
Yes.
And it's all about the year 3000. The interesting thing with that is a lot of the technology they have in the first few seasons reflects... what the kind of technology we had in the year 2000, because obviously they experimented with big things like rocket ships and being able to live on the moon and being able to live on Mars and stuff like that, but they didn't factor in for small technology. So in the first few seasons, they're still using floppy disks.
Yeah.
And they don't have mobile phones.
It's weird when in such a short time, we've actually overtaken some of the science fiction... parts of when you look at things like Doctor Who, for example, which I'm sure we'll talk about more as the show goes on. That's over 50 years old now, and 50 years ago they were predicting the future and doing all these futuristic things, which a lot of them we still haven't got. For example, we still can't time travel. However, when they're still walking around with big phones and stuff like that, even in that point, and he hasn't got the up-to-date things that we do have now, which is really, really cool to think about.
Well, one of the interesting things I always find about Doctor Who in particular was that it was originally made to teach history.
Yes, I remember that. I remember being told this.
Probably by me, because I'm obsessed with this fact. I love the fact that it was actually supposed to be an aid for history, and one thing I'd really like to see Doctor Who do is to go back to that route and being more about showing different time periods than being all sort of aliens run away, save the day.
And actually, those ones where away. If you do know about the history, it's a win-win really, because if they do, you're better at remembering Doctor Who episodes than I am. I'm a Doctor Who fan, but I forget things very...
You're one of those fans who watches it once and is satisfied.
Yeah.
I grew up in a household where they would be watched at least twice.
Oh, no, I'll watch every episode twice. In the week that it airs, but then again, I haven't been back and watched the last couple of seasons yet since it originally aired. But one of the things that you can remember more about Doctor Who than I can.
Yes.
So name an episode where they go back to successfully where they go back somewhere and teach history.
I suppose vampires in, where was it? I forget everything. Oh, there was the Fires of Pompeii.
Yes, David Tennant.
Yes.
Yes.
And?
And, this was David Tennant and Donna.
Yes.
Yes.
Played by...
But Donna was played by Catherine Tate.
Yes.
Yeah, I know that. I knew that, yeah.
Yeah.
I did know that. I was trying to think of the character as well. Because if I'd have just gone, because it was the Doctor, you'd have gone, yes, Kai, of course the Doctor is going to appear in Doctor Who.
Actually, that family that he meets is based on a real family.
Yes, which is brilliant.
It's based on a real family, and that family is used a lot in history books and Latin books to teach children Latin because, well, not children, but obviously to teach people Latin, because they were one of the only families on Pompeii that had surviving records of how many people they had in their family, what kind of business they ran, and what kind of animals they kept. So my mum has these Latin books at home because she had to learn Latin as part of her PhD. And she showed me this story, all of this, because the way it worked was that each book had a different part of the story in it about this family.
Was this Caecilius?
Yes.
Yes, I know that story because I did Latin.
Yes, I figured and I know that you all probably about did.
Yeah, Caecilius, and then the chef was called Grumio, because I always remember Grumio est in horto.
Yes,
Grumio is in the garden. Don't know why the chef's in the garden, but...
Because that's where the herbs are.
Yes.
But I always found that really fascinating that they used the same family. They adjusted it a little bit, and obviously the whole bit about the fire priestess was made up.
I do remember this episode because I remember watching it again after I'd started studying Latin, because it was actually something that my Latin teacher suggested that I go watch. But after I started studying it, I went back and watched it, and I found it. The brilliant thing about it was that I found it interesting because I knew about the because I knew about the history of it. I had those moments. It's like if your mum watches something that's based on history.
Oh, no, you can't watch anything.
Oh, no,
she can't help herself. She has to point out everything that's wrong, even if it's a time period she's never studied.
But I
like
that I was able to go, oh, yeah, I recognise that story, and that's involved in something that I really like, and I love that. But it also, on the other side of things, if you don't know the story, if you don't know the history, you still get to learn it. So it's a win-win situation either way.
I've also just remembered, it was Vampires in Venice.
Right.
That was it. It was Venice. I couldn't remember what country it was. It's Renaissance Venice.
Yes.
But you don't learn much, just that there may or may not have been vampires.
Well, I think it's time to go on and play some more music. Now, what have we got? We've got something coming up next, haven't we, Maisie? Or very shortly.
We have, and you've just ruined the surprise.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty sure everyone can guess what it is.
Stay tuned to Siren FM. We'll be right back. Yes, two brilliant time-travelling songs there. We had the Doctor Who theme tune followed by The Power of Love from Back to the Future. Brilliant tracks there. Power of Love sent in by Ian in Edinburgh. We hope you enjoyed that one. Now, we are talking all about sci-fi this morning, if you hadn't have guessed by those last two songs. And you can get in touch and let us know all about your favourite sci-fi things. It can literally be anything. It can be books, radio plays, TV shows, movies, anything to do with sci-fi. Get in touch at SirenFM on Twitter, studio@sirenonline.co.uk on the email, the Facebook fan page Squabblebox.
Or you can always text in at 077 97 800 716, or send us a message if you're listening via the Radio Player app.
Yes, you can. And that is what our next person has done. They've got in touch over Facebook. And this is Andy from Huddersfield, who says he says that one of the shows that he likes is Quatermass. It was on the BBC in around 1958 and did about 6 episodes of this sci-fi programme. And it was in black and white, he wanted to point out as well.
Most shows were.
Back in 1958, yep. I'm pretty sure, yeah, most were. So, Quatermass, Maisie, you didn't know what... I didn't know what this was.
No, very few people.
And you didn't know what this was before the show. But we've done a bit of research on it, haven't we?
Of course, as like the professionals we are.
We are professionals, you know, we plan shows and do stuff.
We found the Wikipedia page.
So this...
other encyclopedias are available.
Other online, unreliable encyclopedias are available. Now, this next... So this person was Bernard Quatermass,
yes.
If we're getting the right thing
Professor
here.
Professor Bernard Quatermass, thank you very much.
He has worked hard for his... professor title.
Anyone that I know who is a doctor or above,
yeah,
you don't forget. They don't let you forget, yeah, that they're a doctor.
I don't know who said it, but how is it that all these evil characters in science fiction have got advanced degrees?
Again, Big Bang Theory. You're
is
obsessed.
That Big Bang Theory? Yeah, I didn't know who said it. So Professor Bernard Quatermass was a fictional scientist in the BBC. It was a television series first, and the Quatermass Experiment, and then went on to be movies as well, television, films. And it looks quite interesting, actually.
Yeah, it just won't stop going.
It's been remade quite a lot, but one of the things that stood out to us was that it actually influenced... It was an influence...
According to Wikipedia,
it was an influence for early Doctor Who.
It was, even though that the original creator disliked Doctor Who and refused to write for it.
Well, you know what? Sometimes you make bad decisions.
He even said, he commented in 1986, this is Niels.
Yes.
Who created the character.
Nigel Niels.
Who said, it sounded a terrible idea and I still think it was.
Well,
in 1986?
He said that in 1986.
To be fair, though, in 1986, I think that's when Doctor Who was starting to do a nosedive.
Yeah, it was just getting ready to be cancelled, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When did Doctor Who get cancelled?
I'd have to look it up, but it was around the 80s.
Yeah, it was mid-80s, late 80s. So that's that's a really, really cool one. Thank you for getting in touch with that one, Andy. And we've got another message in from Doreen in Huddersfield, who also got in touch via the Facebook fan page. You can get on there by going to www.facebook.com/squabblebox on Siren. And she says, I have never liked sci-fis. Logan's Run was the only one I watched occasionally. Now, this is one that Lynn from Huddersfield has also got in touch and said about Logan's Run. Do you know much about that?
Not at all.
Apparently, Lynn, you've got to get in touch and tell us some more details about that, because we're not sure, but we're interested to know more about what Logan's Run was all about. But people who don't like sci-fis, I've got to admit myself.
This is the thing, though. Sci-fi used to be a very niche audience.
Yes.
It wasn't the cool thing to like. It never was until recently, when suddenly sci-fi went from being really niche, sort of straight-to-TV B-movies, to being blockbusters.
Yeah. which is
somewhere, I don't know where that transitioned, but now people are excited to go to the cinema and watch sci-fi. They're excited to watch the Star Trek reboot and Star Wars coming back.
It's like all the comic book characters that have gone on to do big blockbuster movies as well.
I love that you say that as if they're real.
As if they're real people.
Superman, honestly, he might have a lot of plastic surgery done every few years.
Oh, he
but
just had
gosh,
to...
is he strong.
I know, he had to, like...
He looks vaguely similar every time.
Superman, he was doing, like, he was in a bit of a contractual negotiation battle with a couple of studios trying to get the best deal now. But I'm not massively into sci-fi movies and films. I've always been more the comedy side of things. I do like Doctor Who.
This is the interesting thing.
That's my one thing that I really do love.
A lot of sci-fi, especially recently, has its comedic elements.
Oh, of course.
It's one of those really strange things where comedy and sci-fi seem to go hand in hand because comedy can bring out the ridiculousness of sci-fi, but make it seem less ridiculous in the fact that you're sort of subverting the fact. It's just that situation.
You've
it's
sort
weird.
Of with things that aren't actually with using things from the future, a lot of the time it's better to add that comedic element in so that you know that it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek here and there.
For example,
Ghostbusters.
Yes.
Ghostbusters, which I've still not seen. I've got them both.
Every week.
And I keep promising people. I've got two people on my back to try it who just keep sending me messages and tagging me in things on Facebook. Kai, have you watched them yet? Have you watched them yet? Have you watched
it's
them yet?
It's going to be a third soon.
Why? Who do you think?
Me.
You. Yeah. So I do need to watch the original Ghostbusters and the new one.
Yeah.
But I have you seen the new one yet?
No, I haven't seen the new one yet.
But you've seen the originals?
Yes. I saw the first one.
What are your thoughts on Ghostbusters as a franchise?
I like it.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah.
I like the fact it's funny. I don't know whether you'd put it in sci-fi or you'd put it in comedy, because it's the same issue with Red Dwarf, which was a BBC show, which I think you would really love.
That's with Craig Charles, isn't it?
Yeah,
of Coronation Street and Robot Wars fame.
Yes. As well as other perfectly wonderful British actors.
Yes, of course. But I've heard that Red Dwarf is good.
It's so good. It's weird. It's weird 80s comedy.
And
I'll tell you that much.
But I would put that in sci-fi, definitely.
Well, this is the thing. My mum was... Well, the first time my mum showed it to me and my sister, because it was on demand for the first time, and it was the first time my mum and dad had seen it available. So they... So they sat me and my sister down at dinner when we were having dinner, put it on, and my mum was explaining to me sort of like, and she just asked me sort of like, would you say this is a comedy or a sci-fi? And I said comedy, because it has more jokes than it does science.
Yes.
But yeah, it always gets put in the sci-fi category because they're on a spaceship.
Yeah, I can see what's happening. What do you guys think? Do you think that things like Ghostbusters and Red Dwarf should be put into the sci-fi category or the comedy category? Let us know on Twitter @SirenFM, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, the Facebook fan page Squabberbox.
Or you can text in at 077 97 800 716, or send us a message if you're listening via the Radio Player app.
It's time to move on with a bit more music now. So stay tuned to Siren FM. That song was requested by Ian in Edinburgh once again. Please don't blame us if you're listening and you're not a fan of Doctor Who. We are Squabblebox, your interactive entertainment show right here on Siren FM. It's 11:47. It's not long till we're going to send you off into the news. However, we've got a packed show for you coming up for the second hour, full with Ben Keaton coming into the studio to talk all about his upcoming summer school in the Lincolnshire area. And also we're talking all about sci-fi as always. So Maisie, let's talk a bit more about sci-fi. I believe you got a message in.
We have. Well, firstly, my mum corrected me.
Okay.
Because I was talking earlier about a book about it was about a galactic pit stop.
Ah, right.
It's actually called Waiting for the Galactic Bus by Park Goodwin.
Okay.
It's one of my mum's favourite books, I know. And then she went on to say, TV-wise, there's been some pretty good American stuff lately, like Warehouse 13, Eureka, Man in the High Castle, and, of course, the legendary Firefly.
Ooh,
Firefly,
yes.
Is not recent.
No, I'm sure we will talk about Firefly as the show goes on. In fact, I know you like it, so we'll save that until the second hour, because we've only got a couple more minutes left. However, Lynn from Huddersfield has got back in touch because we were talking about Logan. What was it? Logan's Run. And we asked for more details about that, and Lynn says, I was only little, so I don't remember much except for my dad watching it. She says that she thinks it was set in the year 2250 or something like that. And if they didn't like their life cycle in their enclosed city, they became runners and escaped in flying cars. I was about 7, so I could be completely wrong. Lol.
So this does sound like the best dream ever.
I'm sure. Yeah, but Lynn, are you sure that you haven't dreamt this up? That would be brilliant. I think
we'll do a bit of Googling.
We'll do a bit of Googling. I think that's fantastic. I think Maisie's actually genuinely a little bit interested in finding more about that. So we will talk about that more as the show goes on. That's really cool. I love it when people try and describe things that they haven't seen for so many years.
It's like you describing anything, though.
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
It's like, it's a thing, and then there's this stuff that you know what I mean, because that's the way you talk.
Yeah, it is, and I'll try and explain things, but get it horribly, horribly wrong.
I think the worst thing is when I'm halfway through trying to explain something, and you think you've cottoned on, and just interrupt me and go, yeah, because the thing.
And you go,
you know.
I was like,
no, I was talking about something completely different.
So when it comes to sci-fi, do you prefer it to be in the very, very distant future or the near future?
I like present day sci-fi.
Ooh, right.
I like sci-fi that, also I quite like sci-fi that doesn't announce its year.
Yes.
Sci-fi that doesn't feel the need to, because like one of the great things about Firefly, and I won't go into it too much.
Yes.
Because we'll talk about it later, but basically it doesn't explain anything. It doesn't tell you what year it is. It doesn't tell you why they're not on Earth anymore. It doesn't tell you why all of these colonies ended up being on different planets, or even where these planets are supposed to be in the solar system, or if they're even in our solar system.
Yeah.
It also doesn't explain why so many people can, the majority of people in that world can speak American and Chinese. They're the two main languages and they're the two main cultures, and the reason for that is explained not in the show, but by the showrunners later on.
Ah.
So any context we have for that universe is given to us post-production after it was cancelled.
You see, the brilliant thing that I love about when they don't explain everything as well is the fact that if you don't explain everything, there are less holes in your story.
Sci-fi and plot holes are the best. Because when there's this plot hole in sci-fi, it's a big plot hole.
Yes. Now it's time for us to start heading off into the news. But as always, you can keep getting in touch with us at SirenFM on Twitter, studio@sirenonline.co.uk on the email, the Facebook fan page Squabblebox.
Or you can always text in at 077 97 800 716, or send us a message if you're listening via the Radio Player app.
Keep sending in all your thoughts all about sci-fi, and we'll talk about them more as the show goes on. We're going to be with you until 1 o'clock. We'll be back just after 12, but stay tuned to Siren FM. Today we're talking all about sci-fi here on Siren FM, which means we've got a packed show for you. Also joining us live in the studio very shortly will be award-winning director, comedian and actor, and of course Father Ted star, Mr. Ben Keaton. He's on his way to the studio right now. He should be with us in around 10 or 15 minutes' time. So we're having fun today, Maisie. We're talking all about sci-fi. You know more about it than I do.
Well, there's one person who knows even more than I.
Oh, who?
And this is Rick from Huddersfield, who has given a very long list of how sci-fi works, so you might need to bear with me.
Okay, go on.
Given that there's 2 points, because we were talking about genres, and what he brings up is, given the fact that Star Wars is basically just a princess, knights, an evil empire, is it sci-fi or is it fantasy? He follows on with saying, for me, sci-fi takes a technological advancement and examines the effects on society. August Huxley?
Carry on anyway.
Brave New World and 1984 are classic examples of recent examples of film... Sorry.
It's okay.
There are no commas.
There are no commas.
There are no commas.
It's fine.
Should we focus it? These are things like Gattaca and the TV series Orphan Black. Sci-fi has many subgenres, including alien invasions, spaceships, soap operas, dystopian futures, and action adventure. And then... yeah, that's it.
All right, cool. So let's focus in on... I
should have pre-read that.
Yeah, it's fine. I did know that... I didn't think that we'd be coming into today's show. And I thought, oh, yeah, sci-fi, that's a great little topic. We'll be able to talk a bit about it, talk about some of the favourite sci-fis. But we just seem to break down what is a sci-fi. You know, we do this... We've done this with game shows, panel shows, what makes a sci-fi a sci-fi.
Genres are so difficult.
It's really, really cool to see that there are different things. Some people think that it should be more in the comedy section. Some people think that it should be more in the fantasy section.
Just to think, you often see sci-fi and fantasy together because they were both very niche.
Yes.
And then they became way more popular. But they do tend to get lumped together because there's elements of fantasy within sci-fi and there's elements of science within fantasy. But I like the point that Rick makes, which was basically the idea of taking an advancement and examining what it would be like. How that would change a society.
Yes.
So, but by that extension, a lot of things that you wouldn't normally consider sci-fi become sci-fi, like Walking Dead. The Walking Dead is all about how one situation has changed a society completely.
But then again, in The Walking Dead, they have materials at their disposal which are science fiction. They're not in The Walking Dead. Do they use only? I've never seen The Walking Dead. That's why I'm asking you. Do they only use materials that are available to us now in the year 2016? Right. Okay.
There's no new technology. So then I wouldn't count. Society has been destroyed. There's no new technology.
Then I wouldn't count that as sci-fi. Personally.
You wouldn't personally, but it is a dystopian future.
Of course.
And all dystopian futures are kind of under the subgenre of sci-fi because they're examining social interactions.
And we'll talk about them more as the show goes on. We're going to go into another song now because I believe Ben Keaton is here. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned to Siren FM.
Hey, I'm Arnie.
I'm Freddie. We're the Vaccines and you're listening to Siren 107.3.
You're listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. That was Gary Newman with Cars, and we are joined in the studio right now live with the award-winning comedian, director and actor, and of course Father Ted Stowe. We've got to fit that in somewhere as well. It's Mr. Ben Keaton. How are you doing, Ben?
I'm really good, really good.
Now, you're here today because you have some exciting stuff coming up this month. Do you just want to tell everyone a brief description happening?
I run a thing called the Lincoln Film and Television School, and I teach filmmaking to young people. So during August, I run film schools, and I'm doing one for 11 to 16. So I do one in Lincoln. Last year was sold out. This year is sold out. But we're doing one in Woodall Spa on the 21st of August for a week. It's our third year there. And it's a fantastic location, so it's just brilliant. I spent a whole week making movies.
So what have you done in past years then?
Okay, well, yeah, what we do is we have, there's an introduction over the first couple of days as to how cameras work and stuff like this and the secrets behind movie making, because most people see them, but they really don't know how they're made. Here's a question for you.
Okay.
Here's a simple question for you. How long do you think it takes for a movie to go from the idea to the first time you sit down to watch it? How long does it take?
Now, years.
Years.
Maisie's film and TV
years
student.
Is like saying a time.
I would say, as a drama student who is not qualified to answer this question, would say 5 years.
Would you? What would you say?
I'd say closer to about 2.5 years.
Would you? Okay.
Yeah.
On average, it's seven.
Seven? Yeah. I beat the film
on
and TV
average,
student.
It's seven.
Yeah.
So, when you have when you're able to talk to people and say how that happens and then apply it to things, for example, Suicide Squad.
Yes.
I'm able to talk to people of that age, 11 to 16, tell them how the movies that they watch right now are actually made. And then we use cameras, we get up and we try out different techniques. And then in the later part of the week, we make a proper film over 2 days, professionally edited and put together, and they get to see it later on.
So it seems like a brilliant project for up-and-coming young people who are interested in going into the film and TV industry.
But it also, it's broader than that. If you find that your kids have done summer schools and they've done the drama thing, they've done all that, they've done those kind of things and they're used to doing things, but they've sort of done it again and again, this is a step into a different kind of thing. Because it's stuff that you know TV, but you don't know how it's done. And it's a really different way of approaching, because it does mean you get to write, direct, use camera, act in front of camera. But if you don't want to do those things, if you don't want to be somebody who's in front of camera and acting, you don't have to. You can direct and you can see how directing works. And so it has a lot of scope within it, and it's not like anybody else is doing. This is the only one for 11 to 16s in the area that we're doing.
So if people are interested, the Woodall Spa one is August 21st to the 25th. It is £125 per student or £230 for two students.
That's right. So you could just cut one student in half and get the discount. Don't do that. Don't do that. That was a joke. Don't do it.
So how have you found working with the young people of the previous years? Do you find it
great.
Inspiring to see so many great people who are really enthusiastic about film?
It's exciting because you spend a lot of the time, the first 3 days, with our mouths open going, I had no idea that happened, that it was that complicated, for example. But, you know, we're in such a great country that this is the best country in the world to learn filmmaking. The standard is through the ceiling here. This is where people are hired to go to Hollywood and be cameramen and be floor managers, be all those things. So it's a place where you can get the best expertise and the best insight into it. So this isn't messing around. This is the professional approach. And I've been working in film and television. I've written 16 TV series, and I've been in movies and all sorts. So I know what I'm talking about. I know the process. And when you tell them about this, it's really exciting for them. They get a real buzz for it. And they start to watch things that they see on TV and movies completely differently, because they go, oh, wow, I know how that works. And that changes their idea about it.
That's what I've found since I've moved in with Maisie. We're living together, and since she's been doing film and TV here at the University of Lincoln,
for two years, I
sit there and I'm watching films with her, and she'll start it's got to a point where I've had to stop watching films with her.
I can't help myself pointing out really obvious things that I learn. I mostly do it with costume. because it's a thing.
Right,
that
I see.
Because
right.
Something that happens a lot in film, especially serial television dramas, is the way that they match costumes to show relationships.
All right, okay.
And I can't not see it, and then I have to point it out, and then Kai ends up texting me.
You're ruining the magic, Maisie.
No, it's gotten to the point now where Kai will text me in the middle of the night with a picture of two people who are dressed the same in a drama and go, look, they're romantically entwined.
You said you were living together. He texts you in the middle of the night. Aren't you closer than that? That seems like the waste of a text, really.
She doesn't like me knocking on her door anymore.
This is the thing. Kai would rather send me a message than knock on my door.
Well, the other day I was looking at a thing and a TV series on Netflix. And they had somebody who disappears very dramatically in this thing. It was, I can't remember the name of the series. Stranger Things.
All right.
Right,
yes.
Okay, Stranger Things. And somebody breaks up into millions of pieces, but they're like fluff. It's sort of black fluff and it just disappears. Mm. And the day before, I'd been doing some editing, and there's about 10 buttons you press and you get that effect. Yeah. And I was doing the same thing going, God, that's so cheap. And they really? That's the high point of this whole series? But there you go. That's what happened. You get the inside knowledge of it.
So the plan for this week, this month's school is Pokemon Go.
That's right, the theme, yeah. Because in the past I've done themes where we've done zombie, for example, zombie movies and horror things. We've done music video, which has been fantastic, and film noir. This year the theme is Pokemon Go. I have no idea how we're going to work that in. So what had happened, so basically it'll be, I've got some Pokemon Go onesies and a load of makeup. And I've also, and I've got special effects people coming in to show us how to make that look convincing. And then the students will develop a storyline where Pokemon Go is part of the story, which is terrific because then they can really integrate with what they do. I love that aspect that you can bring in what these kids are doing now and are obsessed with now and make it happen right now. And that's cool.
That's really awesome. Now, we're going to go into another song, but Ben's going to stick around a little bit longer. Maisie, what are we heading into?
This is Talking to Myself.
Stay tuned to Siren FM. Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We are Squabblebox, your interactive entertainment show right here on Siren FM. It's 12:23 PM on this. It's rather a dreary day outside, isn't it, Maisie, unfortunately?
It wasn't when we left for the studio.
No, it wasn't. But the rain seems to have subsided for a short while. We hope that stays that way. Well, I hope so. So, we are joined in the studio with Ben Keaton, and we've been talking all about science fiction this morning. And Ben, you were mentioning some stuff in the last song about sci-fi and things that you know about sci-fi.
Well, yeah, but I was brought up in reading sci-fi. I think that was the first thing that I got into, really, and it always really fascinated me. But it reminded me because of J.J. Abrams directed some of the sort of return of Star Trek when and he reinvented it, and it was terrific. I don't know whether did you see it?
I've never seen Star Trek.
I haven't seen the one that's in cinemas.
I've never seen Star Trek. I know. I've made
How have you avoided it?
I've
it's made impossible,
yeah,
isn't
he's,
it?
He's never seen Ghostbusters, Star Trek,
no?
Star Wars.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm joking me.
I know.
He prefers Adam Sandler.
No.
you do.
I've grown up watching. I spend most of my time watching stand-up comedy, so that's my problem.
All right. Right. Well, there's room for other things.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I need to. I do need to watch some of these because they are classic, classic films.
it might remind me that a lot of the things that we think are big effects in films and even television are done for nothing. They're done on no money, but they just put the cameras in funny places. And he had a thing where some guys were falling off a spacecraft, and they were falling for hours through the sky and fighting and wrestling. It was all very exciting. And the way they actually did it was to stand these guys on mirrors outside in a car park and put the camera above them. And the guys just and put a wind machine on them, so all their clothes flapped, and that was it. Sometimes we look at things and we think, God, that how did they do that? That was so, you know, it looks so complicated, and if you do it cleverly, it costs you nothing. A couple of bits of a mirror, and that's it. Your job.
Sometimes
done.
You just need those clever little effects. You don't need the big budgets to make something look really, really cool. Mm. If I had to put you on the spot and ask you, what is your favorite sci-fi book or movie or television show, what would you say?
Well, there are things that come along and you see them and they blow your head off a bit, like 2001 Space Odyssey was one of those things where nobody really knew what it was about. You know, it was mysterious, it was strange, the music was incredible, it was huge, the images were dumbfounding, and they kept on going off in a direction that you couldn't possibly imagine. And Stanley Kubrick directed it, and it looked like no other film looked, you know. So there are moments like that. And it was great to see Star Trek be reinvented. That was good. I go to quite a few of them. Then you see something like Jupiter Ascending, which is one of the worst things I have ever seen. if you stood on it, you would think, I've got to get that off my shoe. That really was... a terror. So you can go through all sorts with it. But science fiction, I think, is very exciting because it changes your perspective on things. It makes you reinvent the world a little bit. You have to think differently.
And another exciting thing that's coming up in the film industry is your summer school this month, the 21st of August, which is at Woodall Spa.
That's right.
And you are running it. It's you that's running it, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Yeah, it's me. It's myself, and I have a staff with me. And we're working with 11 to 16s at St. Hugh's. Excuse me, in Woodall Spa, and we spend an entire week showing them how movies are made professionally, and then they get their hands on the real cameras, and they get up and they get to do it, and they get to do every single aspect of it, and it is utterly fantastic. And it's very easy to find out more about it. All you have to do is go to the website, Lincoln F for Film, tvs.co.uk, and you'll find the information there, and it is excellent.
It's the fourth year that this school has been run,
yes.
And it looks like it's going to be another successful year for you.
That's
this
right,
year. Is this something that you want to continue doing annually as long as you want?
Yeah, it's great fun. It's great fun, and it's inspiring to see young people come in, and then they get a chance to approach things the way professionals approach them, and they're given a discipline, which sounds like it's hard work, and it isn't really. And they work together in crews. I put them into film crews, and they get jobs in that, and they flip the jobs all the time. So everybody gets a chance to direct, to be camera operator, to be boom operator. We have all professional equipment with us. And then we show behind-the-scenes footage and explain the behind-the-scenes footage of the latest films that have just come out, and so they can see how their favourite films have been created, and then they can get up and try them, which is pretty amazing. And then we have my son is a fantastic editor, Walter Keaton, and he does live editing as we're there. He's a professional editor, and then so they can get to see an end result which matches up to some degree with what they see normally in a movie.
So you have done yourself, Ben, so much in your career, from stand-up to acting to directing.
True.
Is there anything left in your career that you haven't done that you would love to do?
Let's see. Gosh, there's a... well, I'm making documentaries now. I started making documentaries in schools, school leavers. You know, so you get primary and secondary schools and other groups of people who are moving out of one thing and into something else. And I set up this thing about 3-4 years ago called the I Am Project, where I go into schools and I'm hired to actually make a documentary about the school, about those people who are leaving. It's really fascinating because that age group are going through a big change in their lives. They're excited, they're sad, and it's a terrific combination. And I sit with them, and I do interviews with them, and I cut it all together. They're very funny, they're very touching, very moving. They're shown at the last assembly. 90% of parents are crying by the end of them, which I think is a win-win. And then in most places, the schools, the students get to take a copy of the DVD home. And I, in the back of my head, I have this thing that they'll open up a drawer in 20 years' time and take it out, and that is them with their friends and their relationships and their school. And I think that'd be amazing. It's something, you know, we all forget, don't we?
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I still have the t-shirts that all my friends signed when I left school, and the school leavers book that everyone signed and left a message in. I think that'd be really cool.
All we got was a yearbook made by the IT teacher.
But that was, you see, what a nice thing. At least he tried that.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, I find that with the school photograph, I think it looks to me now like it's from a prehistory kind of thing. These photographers come in, and I have nothing against them. You're doing the best you can, guys. But really, you know, with a green screen or a picture of a bookcase or some nonsense that you don't have in the school. And it tells you nothing. It doesn't tell you about the relationships, about the day-to-day routine. I make these films, and it's like stepping into that day. And that's really awesome. So he shows you the geography. Sometimes I strap a GoPro onto a student and send them off to have lunch. And then I cut the thing together. And it's very funny. It's really funny bobbing along and all their friends waving at him. And the guy sits down to sausage and mash. And you can put in those things. And all those little details we forget really easily. And I thought this would be a great chance to capture those things.
That's really, really cool. I wish we'd have had that when I left. Well, I wish I'd have had that when I left school.
We didn't have GoPros when we left school.
That's true, actually. So if people want to be involved in your filmmaking summer school in Woodall Spa, it's £125 per student, £230 for two students. It's run by yourself, and it's going to be on the 21st of August to the 25th of August. The Lincoln one is sold out. Yep. However, if people do want to find out more, there'll probably be spaces open for next year when you get around to that.
Yes, we'll be doing all that. So that one is at Woodall Spa on the 21st. And 21st is a Sunday. The reason that starting on a Sunday is that the following Friday is a bank holiday, and I thought people might want to get away. So we're starting it a day earlier, not the Monday, but the Sunday. And we run to Thursday. And it'll be a fantastic week, really exciting week.
And if people want to find out more, they can go to lincolnftvs.co.uk or email you info@lincolnftvs.co.uk. We'll also put all the details up on our website, sirenonline.co.uk, over the weekend. So thank you very much, Ben, for coming in today. And it's been a pleasure to have you on, as always. And you're always welcome back whenever you've got anything going on. So thank you very much, Ben.
Thank you.
And Maisie, I think it's time to go into another song. Stay tuned to Siren FM. Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We are your interactive entertainment show right here on Siren FM. We are Squabble Box. You can get in touch, and we're talking all about sci-fi today. You can get in touch with us. Let us know all your thoughts on anything sci-fi related, anything science fiction, at Siren FM on Twitter, studio@sirenonline.co.uk on the email, the Facebook fan page Squabblebox,
or you can text in at 077 97 800 716, or send us a message if you're listening via the Radio Player app.
Yes, you can. Now, we have had a message in from Gary in Deaton, who says he likes the $6 Million Man. That was one program that he watched as a kid, and he also says that Ghostbusters should be a comedy. Now, Maisie, you know a bit more about the $6 Million Man than I do.
Only a little bit, I have to admit. I've never seen it myself.
Okay,
but so... But I know of it.
Just sort of give me a bit of a background.
It's basically an astronaut has an accident.
Yes.
And he is... and several of his body parts are replaced with cybernetics.
Okay.
And he's basically a cyborg. And he's this... I believe he's called the $6 Million Man because that's how much it costs to repair him.
I did know that. Yes, that's the one thing that I knew about it. So and
he basically becomes a superhero type figure that way.
That was a hugely successful sci-fi
It was a television series, wasn't
it? Yes.
Because I know that the reason why I know it's successful, really, the way I judge success is the fact that even though it was before my time in a way, it was actually something that a lot of people have told me about and that I've heard of in great detail.
It's worth its fame if you've heard of it.
No, that's not what I mean at all. What I mean is that I if I've heard of it, then it's famous. Yeah, that's
just to let you know, Kai Valentine is the be all and end all of fame.
Shh. I realised about halfway through that sentence.
What it sounded like, yeah.
Yeah. So, Maisie,
yes.
Let's move on to talk about one that you really like, Firefly.
Yeah.
Now, Firefly is something that I've only ever heard mentioned. The first time I heard of it was on The Big Bang Theory, because they keep mentioning
The Big Bang Theory
That's how I know stuff about science fiction, from hearing that. And they always make jokes about how it was cancelled too soon, mm-hmm. and everyone's upset that it was cancelled before they knew what happened in the end. And at least they thought it could have gone on longer, because it only ran for one season?
Not even a full season. It got cancelled halfway through.
How come?
It was a decision made by the network it was on, which was Fox, for several reasons. Some that you can't really talk about on the radio. Others, basically because it didn't have the views. The reason it didn't have the viewers, though, was because of the way the network handled it.
Right.
It was originally the first episode, the first few episodes were aired out of order.
Okay.
So they didn't, because the first episode is an hour long, and the rest are half an hour, I think. It might have been that the first one was in it. Either way, the first one was extended. I can't quite remember how long each episode is.
Okay.
They might have actually been an hour. But either way, the first episode is slightly extended to get all of the stuff you need to know in.
Yes.
And then it follows on for another 12 episodes? No, it's 14 episodes in all.
Right.
Two episodes were never shown.
Okay.
And the first episode wasn't... And the second episode was shown before the first episode. So people didn't have context for the first episode because everything had already been told. The way I watched it was from a box set. So I watched them all in order and I watched every single episode. Whereas, they didn't even show two of them on air at all.
Okay.
And it was because they messed around the schedule so much, especially because it wasn't on at the same time every day. Well, at the same time every week like it was supposed to be. It got moved around a lot, which meant that its viewers were stagnated.
But it's now actually become a cult classic.
Yes, and I think part of that is because it didn't go on.
Do you think that's why? Do you think that people would have held it in the same regard if it had have actually carried
on? It deserves the regard it held. It's very clever, it's very witty, it deals with an awful lot of issues about just a little bit of everything. And it had so much it could expand on. Some of the writers and the creator, Joss Whedon, have said that they could have easily made seven seasons. But the thing is that because it was so short and sweet, it kind of makes it a little bit more special.
Yeah, I think that's the great thing about science fiction, is that it can have the longevity. A lot of the time it does have the longevity to carry on, because in these science fiction worlds, we are able to... For example, Doctor Who, it has the potential to carry on for as long as they want it to. And people said, "Oh, but there was only it was 12; they could only be 12 Doctors."
Yeah.
And people went, "Oh, well, that's where it's going to have to end." And they go, "No, you can just write around that
well,
and carry it on."
The reason they picked 12 is because they never thought they'd get 12 seasons.
Yes.
So they kind of backed themselves into a corner by accident. However, that was kind of rewritten. Everything can be rewritten.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it was great how they did that in a way, because it was a major trolling on a lot of fans, because some fans really get annoyed when stuff like that gets rewritten. But I think it was well done, in my opinion. Before we go into the next song, because I want to touch on Star Wars. Because I've never seen it.
Yeah.
I don't know much about it. what is the Force and why must it be with me?
It doesn't need to be with you specifically.
But that's what they always said, the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you. Only if you are a Jedi.
All right. Well, why can't I be a Jedi?
You could be a Jedi.
I could. Oh, wow. How do I become a Jedi?
You have to have the Force.
But how do I get the Force to become a Jedi?
By just having the Force. You just have it, okay?
Weird, like, whole
okay, when
thing
you
where...
are a small child, you are taken from your parents, and you have the Force.
So it's like Harry Potter, in a way. They go to Hogwarts,
it's not like Harry Potter.
And they are you born with the Force?
I don't think
because you're born in Harry Potter. You're born with the magical powers.
Luke and Leia were born with the Force because they were born of a Jedi.
Right. So if you're born of a Jedi, then you shouldn't be born of a Jedi.
Why shouldn't you be born?
Oh, right. So they're not allowed to be.
They're not allowed to have babies.
But why? Why are they in this society? Why have they not changed that? Shouldn't they be like a law in coming out saying that they're allowed to have babies?
No.
Why not?
Because
is it dangerous?
Yes.
Would it be like if two Time Lords meet? And because they used to say that if two Time Lords meet in Doctor Who, we're going back to Doctor Who now, because they used to say that if two Time Lords meet and get close to each, two of the same Time Lord that are from different parts of their timeline meet.
That's different, though. That's creating a paradox through time travel.
So is it a paradox if the if the two Jedis have a baby? Does that create a paradox?
No.
I'm massively trolling now.
I hate you so much right now.
We'll carry on with you.
Asking me questions I can't answer because nobody knows, okay?
We'll carry on with these
For the
questions.
Same reason that nobody knows why people who don't have the Force can use lightsabers in some episodes but can't in others.
So who gets the lightsabers?
The Jedis get the lightsabers.
But they only work with Jedis.
Okay, there are so many plot holes.
The guy that looks like a bear, he can't use the...
Did you just call Chewbacca a bear?
Yeah. The guy who looks like a bear, he can't use the green shiny flappy thing.
I hate you so much. No, he can't use the light. He shouldn't be able to. This is the issue, is that there's a huge plot hole where at one point in the Clone Wars, which is a spin-off series, they say that... that lightsabers are made through crystals and you have to have the Force to make the crystal do the lightsaber thing. But then, in other episodes, people who don't have the Force use lightsabers all the time.
Why are they... Because there's different coloured lightsabers.
Depends on which crystal you have.
Right, so that... Right, well, that you makes build sense.
Okay, basically, the Jedi...
Okay, I'm learning now.
As you're training to be a Jedi...
So they're teams?
No.
Right, so they're not teams.
They're not teams, but if your lightsaber is red, you're poorly a bad guy.
But why? Are they just born that way?
No. No.
So is it like a mood ring? You know, like those things that you used to go get from gift shops?
No, they don't change colour.
Do they change colour? Like if they turn evil, they turn red.
No.
If they're sad, it turns like a light blue.
No.
So, Maisie, I need these questions answered, but it's time to go into another song.
I will answer them during the song.
So let's go in to another song. Stay tuned to Siren FM. So I've got another question for you, Maisie, because we're talking all about sci-fi here today on Swallowbox. And right, so we've clarified a bit about what... I'm on a website called Star Wars for Dummies, which is really helping me out here. So I'm learning more stuff. So what's the whole... Why are people so obsessed with putting these science fiction universes into Lego form?
Because it makes a lot of money.
And then putting them into, like, games and things like that in Lego form.
Because it makes a lot of money.
Like, what made them think? Like, because not everything gets put into Lego form, but people seem to... Like, Star Wars and Lego seem to correlate quite well.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you know what, that's...
it's just a money-making
thing.
Just
one of those things,
well, this is the interesting thing about Lego is that a lot of people have pointed out that Lego, for most people, when they had Lego, they got a big box of Lego pieces and they made their own things.
Yes.
Whereas now it's pretty much all sets.
Have you ever made any science fiction stuff with Lego?
No, I never had any.
Other building blocks are available.
But the interesting thing I find really funny is the whole point of the Lego movie. Yes. Is the fact that you don't have to follow the sets. You can have fun and be imaginative. Then they came out with sets for the Lego movie that you had to follow the instructions for. To make the imaginative things that this kid came up with.
Right.
So you can recreate them rather than, you know, making your own thing, which was kind of the whole point of the movie.
Fair enough. Yeah, I would... I've never made anything with Lego when it comes to, like, science fiction stuff. I used to...
I had Lego
when I was a kid, and I just used to make my own stuff. I don't know why we moved on to Lego, to be honest.
Because Lego and sci-fi go weirdly... Like you say, they go hand in hand.
We have discovered... If we've learned one thing today, it's that Lego and sci-fi go hand in hand. And it's coming to the end of today's show. We'd like to thank everyone who has got in touch with us today. Remember to keep getting in touch with us at Squabblebox on Twitter or our email, squabblebox@sirenonline.co.uk, or the Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. You can also get in touch with us and send in your hashtag ask us anythings to @SirenFM or at Squabblebox, because we're going to be pre-recording Monday's episode today. So this evening we'll be pre-recording that ready for Monday. A big thank you once again to Ben Keaton for coming into today's show. The award-winning actor, director and comedian has got his summer school coming up in August, the 21st of August to be exact, till the 25th, where he will be teaching people from 11 to 16 year old all about filmmaking at his summer school. You can find out more about that by going to lincolnftvs.co.uk. It's £125 per student, or £230 for two students, so that should be absolutely amazing. Ben is well known as being a fantastic filmmaker. So we're coming to the end of today's show, Maisie. Anything else that you want to say? Anything else to add?
Only that I'm disappointed in you.
Why? Because of my sci-fi knowledge.
Yeah, and the fact that before this episode, you admitted that you don't know what Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is.
That's also true. But I'm sure we'll touch about that maybe on Monday's episode. So keep sending in your tweets. We love hearing from you. And any hate mail that you've got for me can be sent to @heavyset330. Thank you, everybody. And we'll see you all right back here on Monday. Stay tuned to Siren FM.